Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I guess the kiddos made it off to the Denton.
Yes, I talked to Susan a few minutes ago. 47 people left on the bus. 12 were from our church. Now, I think at least four adults, or maybe more than that, I think. Kim, you were there. Kim. Five plus. You were 48 and she got off. Okay, and then they pulled out about 7 o'clock, I guess. So they ought to be in good hands. And just, the ride's the worst thing I could think about them. But Texas is hot too, so I'm sure they will drink enough water. Hopefully they will. Anyway, if you talk to them, tell them to drink water. Drink water. I'll call Sam. I think they know all of that.
If you'll open your bulletin, there's just some things in there. I guess that the only thing that I want to talk about is next Sunday morning is our fifth Sunday breakfast. So don't forget to come with an appetite. And the Wednesday, the 25th, we're going to have the anniversary committee meeting here at the church at 6 if you want to have input into that. I don't know of anything else. Anybody have any announcements? Okay. How about passing out the ritual registration? And please sign it and let us know you were here. Any first time visitors?
Couldn't find the door.
Okay. Well, it's good to see Bill Levine here this morning. Okay. Any additions or deletions to the prayer list? Put my mom on there. My mom fell and broke her hip yesterday, and they operated on her last night.
Mr. Samples will have a teardrop Wednesday. Is that Happy? Is it TBA?
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay, if you bow your head and prepare yourself for worship. We are here to give glory and honor and praise to God our Heavenly Father and Jesus our Savior through song, prayer, giving, speaking, hearing, and responding. Our call to worship this morning is responsive. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever.
Who will tell?
Happy or and do right at all times. Let us worship God.
Well, it is good to see each one of you here this morning. Why don't you stand? We're going to start by singing page 515, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Stand with us, please.
What a
change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Blessed joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I had ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart. Sins which were many are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Do you remember when you first invited Jesus into your heart and believed that He was in your life, that He came forgiving your sin, making a new creature out of you? And dwelling in you. To direct your life. Lord God, we come this morning reflecting on the time Jesus came in. Confusing for some of us. Disturbing for others. We came stumbling and stuttering, sometimes not knowing what was happening. But we had invited you in and we trusted your word. We believed. Lord, we thank you that you came. We thank you, Lord, that you came seeking us before we even knew to reach out to you. You came calling us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithful servants who brought your word to us and helped us to know how to open our hearts and let you come in. Lord, we come to celebrate that experience this morning. We come to remember, but we also come, O God, to be better prepared to be your servants in the world, to let you shine through us. And we come offering ourselves in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll get your Renew hymnal, we have a song in that book. It's page 76. Let's just sing the first verse of this one.
I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Oh God, I will tell the wonders of your ways and glorify your name. Praise, I will praise you, Lord, with all of all my joy. Alleluia.
If you'd open your hymnals to page 716 or up on the wall, we'll say our statement of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Okay. If you'll open your bulletins. Confessing our sins. Our call to confession is confessing their sins. They were baptized by him, John, in the Jordan River. If you confess your sins silently. Assurance of forgiveness. If my people, who are called by name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Amen.
If you'll turn to 574. The words are a little different, but the tune I think you will remember and know. So let's sing both verses.
If my people's hearts are humble, if they pray and seek my face, if they turn away from evil, I will not withhold my grace.
I will hear their prayers from heaven. I will pardon every sin. If my people's hearts are humbled, I will surely heal their land. And my eyes will see their sorrow, then my ears will hear their plea. If my people's hearts are humbled, I will set their nation free. If my people's hearts are humble, if they pray and seek my face, if they turn away from evil, I will not withhold my grace. Our
offertory sentence this morning is, a generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Ushers, please come forward.
If you'll come back and let's sing through it all. We kind of skipped over that one. Not your fault.
This is a learning one I actually know, so what's the page number on that bulletin? 507, okay. You guys play it through?
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned. trust in God through it all, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word.
You open your bulletin to our scripture this morning. Matthew 13:33 and Luke 13:20-21. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Again he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Does anybody make bread this morning? Maybe you did. Make some bread? Did you bake any bread? Maybe already made up. I'd like for us to think about being an influence. As we see the scripture lesson this morning, we find the same statement from Jesus recorded many years later by Matthew and by Luke. We see here that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is synonymous. Matthew uses the term the kingdom of heaven. Luke uses the term the kingdom of God. This parable, real short, it's another example from everyday life to explain what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like, or to explain how things in the kingdom of God work. You know, somebody wrote a book not long ago, How Things Work, and I believe I brought a copy and used it to illustrate a sermon some time ago. Well, how do things spiritual work? That's mysterious to us all, is it not? To most of us. And these parables help us to understand how things work in the kingdom of God, or to what the kingdom of God is like. The previous recent sermons from the parables were all three about sowing seed. I think we spent 4 weeks on three parables. They were all about outdoor life, farming or gardening, planting wheat, and the enemy come and planting some darnel or tares or weeds, call it whichever you like. We probably understand weeds, or some people still can say that there's a plant that looks like wheat, grows along with wheat, but it's really not wheat, and I think they call it bastard wheat. Or that's what the farmer's term for it is. This parable came inside the house, baking bread inside the kitchen. Maybe it related to the people of the household. Jesus came for all people, not just the outdoorsman, but also for the lady of the house, also, and the children that had probably watched their mother. It's always the women, or almost always the women, who's baking the bread. Is that not right? Jesus referred to it
Maybe that's one reason. Maybe we've obeyed the Scripture there when we find Jesus speaking of a woman breaking bread, and the men would say, well, Jesus said the women were baking bread. Maybe that's a stretch of the Scriptures, though. Okay. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast, or like leaven. L-E-A-V-E-N. One version. The King James. I believe it is. Yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour. And someplace it was referred to or explained as 3 measures. About enough flour for 1 good meal. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. That is, the yeast worked all through the dough, or the leaven. We're told, and I wasn't there, but we can depend on some history, we're told that in the time of Christ, the practice was, each time a person made bread, that is, that big fluffy bread, that yeast-infested bread, or yeast-blessed bread, however you look at it, the practice was to save a small amount of that dough, put it aside somewhere, some way, and save it for the next batch of bread that was to be made. And I wonder if that practice is ever practiced right now in this congregation. Do any of you save a little dough from one batch of bread, or am I talking way out of your league? You do. Okay, you save it.
I have in the past.
Have in the past. So you know that is that you save just a little bit, and maybe now we can put it in the refrigerator, right? Where did they put it then? They didn't have a freezer. What did they do? I do remember in my years ago, how many years ago, I don't remember, that there was a fruit mixture going around that you put on ice cream. You remember that one? And they said, number one, you could not touch it with metal. It had to be in a stone bowl and a wooden spoon. Is that right? Does anybody remember that mixture? And boy, it was good. But you had to get a starting from somebody else, some fermented. Enough of that would probably make you walk funny. And you did that, Teresa, so you know what I'm talking about. We did the fruit at our house. Had to watch how much you ate, I believe, you know. Does anybody else remember eating too much of that fermented fruit? You had to get a start from somebody. And my question always was, who got the first start? Where did that come from? Where did it come from? But it was good. The same process. Some fermented fruit, and you put it in a bowl of new fruit, and it ferments or helps that new bowl. Goes all through it and makes a delicious meal. So it saves a little batch or gives somebody a start of the fruit mixture, place it in the new one, and it would set for a time, and the leaven would work its way throughout the large batch, and it would rise. And my mother never made yeast bread. I grew up, what do you call it? Underprivileged, really, when you never made yeast bread. Am I the only one? Did your mother make yeast bread, any of you? Did any of you not make yeast bread? We had bacon powders. Yours didn't have bacon powder and bacon soda. And I still don't know how that has to do with yeast. And it would, if you fail to put the bacon powder and the bacon soda in the flour or the meal, if it didn't come already in there, you had a mess. They would say that you could knock down a horse with that biscuit. It was hard. And actually, I tried to make some last night out of just plain flour, and yesterday afternoon, plain flour, and water. I'm going to make a biscuit, and I made it. And strangely enough, one of them puffed up. I don't know why. The other one was flat as a flitter, or a fritter. And I meant to bring them this morning, and I got over here, and I didn't have them. But we do have some other yeast bread and non-yeast bread, and even have a package of yeast. In today's world, instead of saving that little batch of yeast or leavened bread to and storing it away, you'll do what I did yesterday. I went down to the store, and I knew about, is it Fleischmann's? Fleischmann's yeast. And you take I think it says use two packages of this. Now, why do they package it in threes if you only need two packages? I don't know. But I think I read that somewhere. Put this, two packages of this, and you'll have another one. And I guess if you buy six, blah, blah, it would work out okay. So I buy three small packages of yeast and mix the yeast, or two of the packages, two-thirds of it, what the direction said, in the dough mixture. And when... after it sits a while, it rises, and you bake it, and you get some... this is wheat bread with yeast in it. And it's got a spring to it. You know, I like this. Today I haven't eaten any bread in 3 weeks. And I would like to chew into that one right now. But what I like to do... and I quit doing it, tried to quit doing it. I like to go to the donut shop and those glazed donuts. And sometimes there's nothing to them. You'll find holes in those. All there is a crust. I mean, it rises up and it's big air holes. But aren't they good? Even that air is good. That air is good. But you mash it, and it goes back to where it originally was. Okay? And I thought... wow, you know, that was a good lesson that Jesus told. Without the yeast, the bread would be flat, like the biscuits I made yesterday or something like this. And I read the ingredients, and I couldn't find, that is not a Frisbee. That is really a piece of bread. I think it's tortilla bread. The Texas people knows about that. And but you could sail it through the air, I think. But it's flat. That is a flat flitter, right? Or a fritter. What is a flitter anyway? Flat is a flitter. Anyhow, so Jesus took something that people knew about, and I thought I need to bring these today because most of us don't know about that, right? I went to visit my grandmother and her sister. My grandmother lived with her sister in her sister's home late life, and I saw once the yeast bread rise. Like leaven or yeast in bread is Christ and alive. Like leaven in bread or like yeast in bread, it makes us good, is Christ and alive. Like leaven in bread is God's people in the world. Working in the world. Now, I'm very much aware that there is one train of thought. There are many trains of thought about yeast. And you may have heard a sermon, and I can tell you where you can go read a dozen of them, where yeast is associated with evil. In most of the places in the Bible, it is. It's the evil of the leaven of the Pharisees, and Jesus wasn't saying good things about the Pharisees. And some say this parable is about the influence of evil in the world. But that's not what I see. And it's okay if somebody else wants to see that. And I may preach a sermon one day just pointing that out. But how evil can work out through the world. Just a little bit gets started. Kind of like a rotten potato in the potato sack. You ever... oh, the smell, if nothing else, is really bad. I worked in a grocery store, and sometimes potatoes would go bad. You'd have to dig that one out. Or a rotten apple in the
bag of apples. So, some associate yeast with evil. I see Jesus saying it's good. And it can have a good influence in the world. Now, what he really meant, I don't think anybody could say. Yes, but in many instances, being associated with evil, let's say, and then one guy, well, let's don't get into that. William Barclay, and I like William, and William agrees with me, or I agree with him one. He mentions five areas where Christianity, working in the world, has had a great influence. Just five. There's so many, we can't enumerate them all, can't talk about them all. But five areas where a tremendous difference in society has been made. We might call these, and I think it would be good to call these, what are the results of the Christian being in the world? What is the result of the Word of God being planted in the world? If the bowl of dough represents the world, and if Jesus is represented by the bowl, the little amount of leaven or the yeast, and the influence of Christ in the world, what are the results of Christ being in the world? Or if the bowl of dough represents me as an individual, and Christ has been planted in my life, what are the results of Christ being planted in my life? But let's look at the difference that Christ has made in society for men in general. Not generals, men who are generals, but just people. People in general. Individual people have been transformed, made anew through the entrance of Jesus Christ into their life. That's what he talks about, and that's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians when he speaks of making us new creatures, or we become a new creation. And that bowl of dough is nothing like it starts out being after the yeast or the leaven has permeated it. Big word for me, isn't it? I can hardly say it. After the yeast has been distributed, magically it happens. It goes all out through the dough. And that dough is transformed. Well, people have been transformed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul puts together a list of the most terrible and disgusting kinds of sins, as we call them, or kinds of sinners. And I'm going to turn and read that. 1 Corinthians, if I got the notation right, chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And here is just one example from the Bible. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous, this is verse 9, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then here starts a list of action or characteristics of the people that he was talking about, actually talking to. He says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says in the next verse, and such were some of you. He was talking, writing to a Christian community, a church full of people who had been touched by Christ. Christ had been invited into their life. They were not perfect, but they certainly were not like they started out being when they met Christ. And he says, you were at one time, or some of you were. Such were some of you at one time. But what did Christ in their life do? He says, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You were once vile sinners, he is saying to them. But Christ came and made you saved sinners, trying to do better, doing as much as you can to live a better life, and succeeding when we allow Christ to have control of our life. What were the results of Christ being in an individual life? What were the results of Christ coming into your life? The song, since Jesus came into my heart, what a change has been wrought. Some of us had a drastic change. Some of us were very young and didn't have to have too much change in our action, but we changed in our trust from trusting in ourselves to get us to heaven to trusting in Jesus. Or we came from trusting in nothing, not knowing anything about Christ and Christianity and heaven and hell, and trusting in Christ to be our Savior and the Lord of our life. Not only to save us from our sinful nature and our sin that we have committed, but to be Lord of our life, to be the guide of our life, the general, if you will. So people in general certainly have been changed by the entrance of Christ into their life. Number two, Jesus Christ has, and His influence has transformed the life for women. You know, in the Hebrew community of Jesus' day, there was a prayer that the people prayed, the men prayed. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not this. And then I thank you, Lord, that I'm not four or five things or three or four things. And one of them was a slave, and one of them was a woman. And Christ came and elevated the position of women in the world. Praise be to God. And then in heathen society of Christ's time and before Christ's time, and even in some societies today we know about, in a heathen society, the weak and the ill are often, were often, and still are often considered a nuisance. They were just left to die, cast upon the garbage heap. Young and old, if they were weak and ill. And a Christian monk formed the first blind asylum. A Christian merchant, the first free dispensary, and the first hospital of record was formed by a Christian lady. A woman in whom Christ dwelt. Christians were the first that we have record of to be interested in the broken things of life. The aged. The aged once were discarded. Sometimes I wonder if we have moved much past that. Sometimes, at one time, though, they were discarded on the rubbish heap. Christianity changed this, at least to a degree. And children, especially girls, were of little interest to the ancient world. And in our world, life is almost built around children. Jesus took time to invite the children into His lap. Jesus taught the people He dealt with, and Jesus
teaches us the value of children. Certainly, Christianity has had a positive influence on these five areas of society. There are two trains of thought as to how leaven works and to how Christianity works in the world, if the leaven, it represents Christ and Christianity in the world. One train of thought or line of thinking is that leaven works unseen, and that Christ works unseen. We can't see it working in the dough, the leaven that is, but it is working. It's quietly bringing about a great change in that dough. Sometimes you can't see Christ and His influence working in a life. Sometimes we can't see the influence of the church working in the world. The people of God working in the world. They go about it so quietly. They go about it very quietly. Even sometimes the activity is purposely hidden. We don't want any pats on the back for this. We just want to do it because it's the right thing to do. Or maybe the work of Christ in the world is not activity at all, but a passive working of the influence of Jesus. Just dwelling on and thinking on and meditating upon Christ, especially for an individual life. Meditative prayer would be one example here. So that's one train of thought or line of thinking concerning Jesus and the influence of Christianity, thus the influence of the Christian church in the world. And the second view, or the second train of thought, is that the people of God are always seen at work. Did you turn on your television last night and this morning and see those people? Habitat for Humanity workers slaving. And even our little group, our junior highs, went across town to help rehabilitate a house. I think they set out the shrubs around a house that they were rehabilitating over in the East Nashville, East Nashville area. The leaven is seen. It changes. It changes a passive lump into a seething, bubbling, heaving mass. And we put 47 people on the bus this morning, or helped do it, or were a part of it, to send them way out in Steve Alamore's home state to work around our children's home. They'll be seen. They'll be seen. They'll have t-shirts on, like that group that came from Michigan to work on that house that our group went and set the shrubs out. They came and painted and put a roof on. That's Christian activity. The work of the kingdom is often a violent, disturbing force, plain for all to see. Sometimes we don't like it when it comes like that. We'd rather it be kind of quiet and easygoing and not disturb us too much. Acts chapter 17, verse 6 tells of Christianity in Thessalonica. And it was something about, these people have turned the world upside down. They're here among us now. They done moved in on us. What are we going to do about it? These were the non-Christians. Why, those folks have turned the world upside down. Praise the Lord. But see, Christianity is not either or, seen or unseen. It's not either seen or unseen. It's both and. And we're kind of silly to see that it's not that. Or to take one stance and say that's the way it's got to be. It's a both and situation.
There is a sense in which the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God and the power of Christ is always working, whether we see it or not, whether we can see the work or not, in the short run especially. And then there is the sense in which the work of the kingdom is plain to see, the salvation of souls. But sometimes it might be planting the seed in a heart, or doing a good deed, or bringing a glass of cold water in the name of Christ. Last week I said that the kingdom of heaven starts, or the kingdom of God starts, from the smallest beginning, like the mustard seed. But though it starts with a small beginning, especially with the parable of the leaven, the little bit of leaven changes the whole lump, if you will. The leaven changes the whole lump. The character of the dough is changed. Dedicated lives of individual Christians have been changed when they become Christian. And dedicated lives of individual Christians can change the world. Please understand, the kingdom of heaven works from the inside. The leaven had to be, and still has to be, placed in the dough for it to work. People of the kingdom, that's us. Let us remember, we have to be in the world to work influencing the world. And as we work, we lead people. Sometimes the roughest people we know, sometimes the vilest people we know, to be new creatures. One has said that the church and the influence of the church, the church is the factory where men are produced, or people are produced, men of God are produced. That's our task, to produce new creatures out of old people. Friends, the power to change the world is not our strength. The power to change the world comes from the outside. For us to change, we had to have Christ to come into our lives. For us to change, we had to have Christ to come into our lives. We couldn't do it without Him. We tried and we failed. We tried and we failed. We had to invite Him in and give Him control for us to change, for Him to make a new person out of us. But then He said, some Pharisees came to Him once and said, "When's the kingdom coming? Or tell us all about your kingdom." He says, "The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within us when we let Christ come in." We don't have to worry about a throne. We don't have to worry about an army. We don't have to worry about all of that. The kingdom is within us. And we, who have been influenced by Him, who have been saved by Him, who have been justified by Him, sanctified by Him, we plant Him and His Word in those people we meet. We just plant the seed, or we plant the leaven. We pass it on. We give them a little leaven in their life, Christian leaven, that it might influence and change. Now the big question we come down to, has Christ, Jesus Christ, has He been received into your life? That's the important question this morning.
Has He saved you? Have you allowed Him to come in and save you from your sin? Has He become Lord of your life? Have you permitted Him to be your Lord? You know, He would like to be invited in. The book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 3, verse 20. John tells us that he stands at the door. Has Jesus speaking, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice, I will and open the door, I will come into him, and he with me. And will sup with him, and he with me." He'll come in and change our life if we'll let him. 452 is the number. It's make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. But maybe we need a blessing this morning, the blessing of Christ, to come into our life. That invitation is extended as we sing. 452. Verse 1.
In the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is raised, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Thank you.
Thank you. take his.
Oh, okay.
She got the message.
I didn't realize there was anything wrong with her.
Yeah, I didn't.